B-Pod Studios.
I want to get into this right away. Man. You've got some interesting things going on here in your post-playing career. What have you been up to?
That I have. Aside from being, you know, dad and just kind of doing some stuff on the baseball analyst type side, I've partnered up with a VC firm out of Philly, 76 Capital. So we're a startup. We'd like to get in the startup early seed stage, sports tech companies, and just like to work with great people that are looking to change the world. So it's been a lot of fun and continuing to do good work.
Yeah, you've been promoting this a lot over social media and whatnot. I see you making appearances, talking about it and everything. It's you're a great follow on social media, by the way. You seem like you're up to a lot of good times.
Oh, yeah. Doing some great things, man. You know, again, we're just trying to build up some of these companies and trying to get with people that are looking to change the world.
Well, something else that you got involved with recently, I saw you on MLB Network talking about Manny Machado and Bryce Harper, and I don't know if you still feel this way, but you kind of had the opinion of maybe wait a little bit, see what happens with Mike Trout, and then start really throwing money around. What's your take on the whole scenario now regarding this year's free agency?
Yeah, I mean, I think that obviously, you know, Jay Middles came out and John Middleton came out and said that they're looking to spend money. So, I mean, that's obviously what they're going to try to go do. I think that, you know, Bryce would definitely be a good fit there in Philadelphia. But if it doesn't work, I don't think it's, you know, the worst thing that happens. So I think that, you know, in a couple of years, you got Mike Trout, you got Aaron Arenado that are going to be free agents. And, you know, you could always look to go make a play there as well.
So do you see this being a situation where they could possibly bring in both Harper and Machado, and then also maybe later on go after Mike Trout, or is it just bring in Harper and possibly later on?
Look, man, I know that my man John Middleton was saying we're going to spend stupid money. That's crazy stupid money. I mean, if you could somehow be able to finagle like two out of the three of those guys, then you've got you got something special brewing. You know, again, your team definitely gets better if you add one of those guys, if you add a Harper or a Machado. You know, just in case it doesn't happen, I mean, you can still kind of look down the line, continue to try to build your team, and then make a run at an Arenado or a Mike Trout later on down the line.
Speaking with Ryan Howard. And Ryan, by the way, I like the nickname Jay Middles. I think I'm going to roll with that from now on. Whenever I refer to John Middleton, he's just Jay Middles from now on. Jay Middles, if he gives you a call, right? Let's say John Middleton calls you and he goes, yo, big piece, Jay Middles here. I need your advice on Machado or Harper. Which one should I go with? What are you telling Jay Middles?
You know what? I think for me, I think that, you know, they could really use Harper. I mean, they have a lot of right-handed power. I mean, obviously, you've got Reese in the lineup. You need something to kind of balance that out a little bit. You need that left-handed bat to kind of swing things back the other way. And I think that, you know, Bryce would be that bat to be able to do that and have a commanding presence in the middle of that lineup along with Reese. So I think I would probably go with Harper just due to the fact that you need a left-handed bat to kind of balance that out.
Ryan, how did Citizens Bank Park compare to other places that you played as far as being a left-handed hitter? I mean, we talk about Harper coming in here, and he might be able to pop 35 to 40. What advantages does he have at being a left-handed hitter at Citizens Bank Park?
I mean, you know what? Honestly, it really doesn't matter because Bryce is the kind of guy who's got pop to all fields. He can hit the ball out of all fields. So he could definitely do some damage there at CBP. I mean, he's done damage, you know, basically everywhere he's gone, and he'll hit some tape measure of shots. I mean, especially, you know, he's hit some balls on the upper deck in Washington that were pretty impressive as well. So he's one of those guys that it doesn't matter what ballpark he's playing in, he's got power to all fields, so he's going to be a threat no matter what.
Now, when you're living in the world of 0.4 seconds, meaning the time that it takes for that ball to get across the plate, what kind of stuff are you studying when you're watching some of these pitchers? Like, what are you looking for when it comes down to that time?
I mean, it all depends. I mean, it all depends on the situation. Runners on base, runners not on base, what you've done, if you've faced that person before. So you kind of understand and know what they're trying to do to you ahead of time. You know what their pitches look like. You know what their breaking ball looks like. You know what their changeup looks like. You know what their tendency is in terms of wanting you to throw a certain pitch in a certain time, and then you just kind of get to the point to where it's like, okay, I'm going to look for a certain pitch here, and if I get it, I'm not going to miss it.
Huh. Speaking with Ryan Howard, of course, the big piece, and last week, Ryan, we had the pleasure of speaking about your former teammate Roy Halladay being elected into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Some great news. What was your reaction to Roy going in there?
I was excited for him, man. I mean, it couldn't happen to a better person. You know, I mean, he was a fierce competitor. Definitely one of those guys in the clubhouse that you want you want in your bunker when it's all going down. And, you know, I always tell people before, like with Roy, it was one of those things on the days he's pitching, you know, I just came in the clubhouse, saw him in the corner, kind of getting it locked in, and I'd walk by and he'd say, hey, what's up, Doc? And just kept it moving and didn't say anything else to him because he was one of those guys that was so intense that he got everything locked in. But even more importantly, he was a better man, you know, a better person, one of the kindest, most gentlest people that you would ever meet. And, you know, I was really happy for him, happy for Brandy and the kids, and happy for his entire family.
Ryan, you know that guys are good, and he came to Philadelphia already having won a Cy Young, already established as one of the best pitchers in the game. But when you really got to see him up close and personal on a daily routine and his regimen and all that stuff, when did you know that he was the real deal? Like, when he became a Philly, when in that time frame as a teammate did you know he was just as good as advertised?
I think Chase kind of put it best. Chase was always one of the first guys to get to the ballpark, I think, in spring training. Chase would usually get to the ballpark somewhere around like 6:30 or something like that. And he got to spring training one day, and Roy was already there, like full-blown sweat. And like, I think he was at his locker when Chase walked into the clubhouse. He was at his locker, full-blown sweat. Like, I think he got there like 5, already got in, got his workout in, full-blown sweat, eating. So you knew that this guy, like Chase put it best, is like, when this guy beats me to the ballpark, then you know this is something serious. But his preparation, his work ethic was second to none, and it shows, and that's why he was able to do what he did out there on the ball field.
How do you feel about Gabe Kapler and how he works with the team and how you know, just where he's good, what he's his direction with the organization and the team?
I think with Gabe, I think kind of watching him this first year, you know, this is kind of that year to get all the bugs out. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, to me, kind of watching him, you know, his first time managing and kind of being in the heat of the situations and whatnot, I think, you know, obviously early on he had some hiccups and this and whatnot, but, you know, kind of put some things together. You know, those guys need a positive atmosphere, and I think Gabe provides that because, you know, the past few years prior and whatnot, it was a very, very kind of tough, very negative situation. So, I mean, first things first, if you got to change the mantra around, you got to put those guys in an environment to go out there and succeed and want to go out there and go play. And I think Gabe gives that. You know, we all know that it can be a very tough town, you know, from the fans at times, but, you know, they want the best from the media at times as well. So, I mean, they expect the best. And I think that this is that year to where with Gabe, you know, you should have all the bugs kind of worked out, the kinks kind of worked out, and be able to have things kind of work a little bit smoother. And you know, I'm looking for big things out of Gabe and the coaching staff this year.
Ryan, we were talking about Roy Halladay getting into the Hall of Fame. I want to ask you, how about some of the other teammates and yourself as far as who was on those teams? Who has a real legitimate shot at getting into the Hall of Fame, in your opinion?
Oh, man, I have no clue. Honestly, like, I don't even know, man. It's one of those things where it's kind of like, what's the criteria, so to speak. But, you know, I really, really couldn't tell you because it can all vary. I mean, you see some guys that you know, you would think are surefire Hall of Famers, and you just don't know what's what. So, you know, hopefully all of us could get in. That'd be awesome. But, you know, get in the good graces. I tried to be good to the writers and as much as I can. So you never know what will happen.
Right. Going back to those days, man, and that was the best. I mean, that was, I grew up here. My first championship experience ever was you guys winning the World Series in 08, and it was just phenomenal throughout the city. I've always said Philadelphia had never been more so the city of brotherly love than the night you guys won and the day of the parade here in Philly. But when you go back to those days, and Jimmy Rollins came out over, I think it was maybe a year or two ago, and said that you guys should have won more. You should have won 2 or 3. Do you share that sentiment? And maybe why wasn't that team more successful?
No, yeah, I definitely agree. I think we definitely could have won a couple more championships. I mean, that's just baseball. I mean, sometimes just things happen and you just don't get a couple bounces that go your way. I mean, obviously, you know, getting back to the World Series in 2009, we ran into a buzzsaw named Hideki Matsui, who for whatever reason just, you know, couldn't miss. He got hot at the right time and he helped carry the Yankees to a championship that year, and then just kind of had some things kind of go against us. But you know, I'm definitely in agreement to where we could have won, you know, multiple championships. It just so happened that it didn't work out that way. But you know, we were lucky enough and able enough to get one, which, you know, in sports, man, if you can get one, you know, you're happy with that one.
Ryan, towards the end of your career here in Philadelphia, obviously the injury played in a lot, but I know athletes never want to use injuries as an excuse, but you ruptured your Achilles, you had to have that second surgery at spring training. I mean, when you look back on it, how much of the latter stages of your career did the numbers dwindle because of that injury?
I mean, the injury was definitely something that was there, you know, in terms of that. I mean, I was able to kind of get past it or whatnot, but, you know, again, I don't try to sit there and go use that as an excuse. I mean, if I'm out there, I feel like I should be able to go out and get the job done. You know, there's, you know, other factors and stuff like that kind of towards the end that just, you know, took place in terms of like playing time and whatnot. But again, you know, that's neither here nor there now. But, you know, in terms of the injury, yeah, I mean, it was tough kind of coming back. I think it really kind of takes like a year and a half, you know, to really kind of get that strength fully back. I don't have the biggest of calves, so.
Welcome to the crew. Things.
Yeah, that's why I had the baggy pants to try to make up for it. So. But I mean, it was one of those things, man, where it was just one of those things where, you know, the rehab portion of it and everything was just took a little bit longer than I expected, but still tried to go out there and do what I could do and do the best that I could.
We get a tough reputation in Philadelphia. Do you feel like you were treated fairly towards the latter stages of your career here in Philly?
Do I feel like I was treated fairly? I mean, I think as an athlete, the only things you really want to do is just go out and play. And that's, you know, you're not really looking for all the accolades and all that kind of stuff. Like, you want to go out and compete. Whatever kind of comes with that, you know, in terms of accolades and whatnot. You know, to me, I enjoyed my time in Philly. Yeah, it was the last few years rough, a little rough there. Yeah, it was. I mean, we were losing. Nobody likes to lose. Nobody, you know, it sucks. Nobody wants to do all that. But, you know, I think in terms of all that, it was a little different. You know, for me, if I just wanted to go out and just play and try to compete and just play to the best of my ability and try to help the team win the best I could.
What was it like playing in Philly during those peak years? It seemed like the building was always electric when you guys were really getting things cooking.
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I mean, the electricity that you had, the feeling that we had there showing up, it was exciting. I mean, it was one of those things where the vibe for us was, you know, it wasn't, hey, are we going to win? It's how much are we going to win by? And we knew what we had. We knew what we were capable of. We knew what we were going to be able to go out there and go do. And it was just a matter of going out there and doing it. And the crowd helped so much. I mean, guys from other teams would tell us, like, bro, we'd look at the schedule and, oh, man, we got to go to Philly. And it was automatically, okay, where do we go after that? Because they knew what they were in for, not only with us on the field, but from the standpoint of the crowd and the electricity, having all those sellouts. And it was amazing.
We're speaking with Ryan Howard. Something else. Do you think a signing of Manny Machado or Bryce Harper would automatically put that buzz back into Citizens Bank Park?
I think it definitely is a start. I think there's still a couple pieces that need to be put together, you know, kind of added on there. And then just, you know, let the guys go out there and go do their thing. I think, you know, again, obviously your team gets better with either one of those guys. But, you know, to me, it's about chemistry and it's about the character of the guys that you're putting out there on the field. So, you know, those guys can figure out who they are as a team. Then I think is when you'll start to see the sparks fly. And I think you got a little bit of that last year you know, where they were kind of in the hunt early on towards the middle of the season, you know, things kind of fell apart. But once you kind of get a taste for that, you know, it lights the fuse and then things kind of get going in the right direction.
Ryan, we see so many stars changing teams or wanting to change teams in sports anymore with the Anthony Davis in basketball, and we see it all over. Was it more special for you guys, do you think, that you were kind of homegrown, like Cole and yourself and Chase Utley and Jimmy Rollins, that you guys were homegrown and were able to win this championship? Did you kind of sour on bringing in other stars, or it didn't matter to you?
No, because for us, it was all about winning. We didn't care. We didn't care who you were. We didn't care where you came from, as long as you came in and you wanted to win. And I think that was one of the things that in bringing in, like, you know, Roy or, you know, Roy Halladay, Roy Oswalt, you know, Cliff, all those guys, like, they had the mindset of wanting to win. Everybody's different, you know, in different ways or whatnot. But the end goal was, hey, we're all out here. We want to win. We want to compete. So you have a great group of competitors. That's all that matters.
Speaking with Ryan Howard. Ryan, last one from me. Are we going to see, I don't know, guys like Charlie Manuel and Gabe Kapler maybe hanging out a little bit more at spring training?
Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully, yeah. I mean, it's all about anybody who's at their craft, right? You should always want to get better at your craft and always be willing to learn. And by the time, if you've got it all figured out, then you don't need to be doing it anymore. You know what I mean? So you should always be trying to get better at whatever it is that you're doing. And I mean, Charlie's a wealth of knowledge, I think. You know, I think, and, you know, Gabe's definitely a baseball guy in terms of, you know, him being out there and playing. So he understands the game as well. But, you know, it doesn't hurt to be able to chop it up with somebody and just continue to get advice. Maybe you see things that, you know what, you know, I never really thought of it like that before. So you just never know. You should always just be open to learning more. And, yeah, I think so. Cause Charlie is not only, you know, full of knowledge, but he's hilarious and he keeps it loose. So.
Mm-hmm. All right, Ryan, we really appreciate you coming on with us, man. And we also appreciate the posts on social media. You support the Eagles. You support the Sixers.
Oh, man, always.
You're all over it. I know your wife's from the area as well. Is it more her being the sports fan or you?
Oh, no, it's definitely me. I'm a sports fan. I'm good at everything, man. It's me, my son. I mean, I just got my son a Jimmy Butler jersey for his birthday the other day. So, yeah, I mean, we ride hard for the Eagles and the Sixers, the whole nine, though. So we're always trying to support the Philadelphia squads and hoping for the best. So
now, this is your
hopefully those guys can get it done.
This was your son that was the star of the show when you won the home run derby, if I'm not mistaken, the older one.
That's correct. Yeah, he just turned 18 Saturday. So. He's kind of grown since the home run derby.
Wow. A little bit. I was just told he posted something to troll the Saints about the refs or something like that.
More than likely he did. Yeah, more than likely. I wouldn't be surprised.
But nice. Ryan Howard, thanks so much for coming on this, man. We really appreciate it. And good luck with 76 Capital. I think Trey's about to, you know, just throw a whole bunch of money somewhere.
Oh, yeah, definitely, Ben. I'm talking to him about it. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, man, most definitely. Everybody out there, go check us out, 76capital.com. Doing a lot of great things, man. We got the Athlete Venture Group going on. B. Westbrook is a part of it. Rob Sampson, DeMarco Murray. So we're out there trying to change the world for the better, man, and make great things happen. Make the dream become a reality out there, baby. So check us out, 76capital.com.
Awesome. Ryan Howard, thanks so much.
Appreciate it.
Great catching up with
you. Thanks, guys.
All right,
thank you.
Take it easy. Look at that. He's snapping necks, cashing checks, Ryan Howard,
man. That's right.
Keeping busy.
Yes, sir.
I love it when guys aren't here anymore, but they still keep in touch with what's going on in the sports scene here. I remember he put something out on social media. I think it was Instagram. Ryan Howard putting out with Ben Simmons, 2K, the video game, getting the cover of that in Australia, Joel Embiid and all that stuff. And then he was rooting for the Eagles the entire way.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Jamie, what was his son doing?
So I believe it's his son who's 18, who's, I think, a minor league prospect. He might play himself.
Okay.
He was watching the game in a Chiefs jersey. I guess he's a Chiefs fan. And when the Rams got the game-winning or the interception that led to the game-winning score, he did, you know how the Saints do that, like, motorcycle chopper dance?
Yeah.
I'm not cool, so I don't know, like, what song that applies to.
Right. Oh, we know.
Yeah, so he posted a video of himself doing that chopper dance and taking lots of joy in the Saints going out. And I went, this kid is awesome.
There you go. There you go. And that first off, the thing that really sticks out to me is the love and respect for a guy like Roy Halladay, which is no big surprise. But when another teammate acknowledges, oh, my God, he would beat Chase Utley to the ballpark, like, that is really saying something. And then if he had to tell his friend, Jay Mittels, who he would sign out of Machado or Bryce Harper, it would be Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The big piece goes with Bryce.
Jay Mittels. How about that? I want my damn trophy back. That's a mic drop.
Oh, totally. That is a great mic drop.
Ryan Howard, his 2006 MVP season may have been one of the best sports individual sports season by anyone in the city of Philadelphia.
Oh, absolutely.
No doubt about it.
15 homers.
313?
Yeah.
So he had 704 plate appearances. 159 games he played out of 162. 58 home runs, 149 RBIs. He walked 108 times.
Wow.
He hit 313 and scored 104 runs. Like, people that score 104 runs are your Jimmy Rollinses, your Lenny Dykstras, your leadoff hitters. He scored 104 runs.
You know what that tells me? How important a five hitter is?
Yeah.
Jason Worth.
Yeah,
thank you
Jason
very much.
Worth. No question. His OPS that year, 1.084. That's incredible.
It was one of those situations where for an entire season, it was every time he was up, you expected a home run.
And man, he delivered.
And I remember, and this is off time, I remember they went into Houston towards the end of that season, and I think he had a couple home runs, but he was getting closer. I mean, obviously 58 is what he ended up with, but it was like, oh my God, will he get to 60?
Yeah.
Couldn't possibly get to 60. But no, that year in itself, isolated, I mean, definitely, Bob, if not the best, one of the absolute best performances
really
in Philadelphia sports history. Single seasons, absolutely. It did go away quick, and we were talking about that. Now, Tom Brady hasn't had an injury like Ryan Howard had towards the end of his career, but, I mean, it went away quick for Ryan Howard. And when power hitters, when it goes. Now, look, the power number's funny. He would still hit 20 home runs towards the end of his career, but the batting average was gone, and pretty much everything fell by the wayside quick. Tommy Joseph had that surge towards the end of Ryan Howard's career here. Darren Ruff had a bit of a surge. Remember that name?
Yeah.
I mean, all these false prophets, if you will. And now, hopefully, the Phillies got something special on a guy like Reese Hoskins, and they can carry that on the rest of the way. Coming up in a couple of minutes. Actually, well, here's what's interesting. So Ryan Howard mentioned that he would take Bryce Harper over Manny Machado. That would be his more of his selection there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reason we're talking so much Bryce Harper today is because of all the things that are out there now pointing in the direction to the Phillies that Bryce Harper could be coming to Philadelphia. Now, I'm not just talking about yesterday when we mentioned the video game or MLB The Show saying, oh, make sure you're paying attention to this Twitter account tomorrow, meaning today, not that. But Vegas taking away all the prop bets for Bryce Harper. And then a gambling account on Twitter, Vegas Gambling Steam. Jamie, they predicted some other things in the past?
Yeah, they predicted LeBron James leaving Miami before anybody else, before Woj Bomb even had in 2014. And then they, 2 years ago, reported Gordon Hayward to the Celtics, again, before the mighty Woj. So they do have some reputable news breaking sources or claims behind them.
And yesterday they tweeted out, late last night, they tweeted out a confirmed report.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I woke up at 3 a.m. to the timeline going wild, and I was like, what happened?
Confirmed report. Bryce Harper has agreed to a multi-year mega contract with the Philadelphia Phillies. Source says deal was wrapped up pending medicals, but has taken all Bryce Harper prop bets off the board. Then another betting site put out there, Odd Shark put out this one. To win the World Series, the Phillies' odds improved from plus 1,600 to plus 1,200. That's out there as well for the betting world. Always follow the money. This coupled with everybody telling us one way or another what's going to happen. I woke up to an Instagram message from a listener that just crossed, I believe, or K-Rost, 118, hitting me up saying, hey, guess what? Vegas bets. Got to follow the money. when it comes to where Bryce Harper is going to end up. You follow the money, you follow Vegas, and that's what it's pointing to right now, that Bryce Harper is coming to Philadelphia. Then what else did we have? We had somebody from a sporting goods store tell us about Schwerzies.
Mm-hmm. Possibly some Schwerzies sitting in boxes waiting for shipping.
Those Schwerzies are Bryce Harper, Bob.
And I just have a feeling.
Bob still just has his
Bob
feeling.
Bob feels good there about go. Today.
So, but are you still
I have a feeling.
Are you still in the camp of Bryce Harper and Manny Machado are coming to Philadelphia?
Get one, and the other shall follow. So here's how I'm thinking it playing out. That today, one of the national people, or like a Jim Salisbury, somebody says, it is official, he will sign in the days to come, Bryce Harper is a Philly. And then all of a sudden, I think it's going to be, well, Manny Machado's not getting the money around the league that he thought he was going to get. The Phillies are coming into play with him also. And then it's going to come to fruition after the Super Bowl. Manny and Bryce, Philadelphia Phillies.
Oh, you got a low speculation.
I see the light, Mark. I see it.
Got a low speculation, Trey.
Sources tell me also Bryce Harper loves Hoagie Fest.
Well, what more do you need to know in life? What more do you need to know other than that to know Bryce Harper is coming to Philadelphia? 610-632-0975. We'll discuss an interesting thing, Trey. I don't know if you had any traditions or routines or anything pregame, but Clinton Portis, former Redskins running back, he had an interesting little pregame ritual.
Yeah,
we want your mic drop moments in Philadelphia sports, either with a speech, something said to the media, or maybe even a performance. That was a mic drop moment. 610-632-0975. Tom at the Fanatic is 925.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Big Piece votes Harper. Put it in a headline. 610-632-0975. Ryan Howard's always been a good interview. He's not afraid to say something. That's the number one quality of someone that you actually want to talk to. And you guys were chopping it up.
Yeah.
Not too bad. Yeah. A little 76 capital. Do you guys take like $5 investments?
I don't know what they do.
That's about we'll add our $5 to Trey's
I'm going to set up a meeting this week. Yeah, well, good.
I'll invest in you as an investor. How about you? Is that possible? Does that work? I don't know how money works.
I'm not sure how that plays out.
Yeah, I don't know either. So I wanted to get into this. Clinton Portis did an interview over the weekend, I believe it was, on Fox Sports 1 with Christine Leahy, I believe is how you say her name. And she sits down with Clinton Portis where he reveals his method of pain management, I think. This was the way he would do it. She asked him, is it true that you used to do a shot of Hennessy before every game? A shot of Hennessy. Bob, you're looking at me like I'm crazy.
I made a rule when I was in late teen. I can't imagine going on a playing field with any alcohol in your system at all. But
a playing field. Yes. Yeah. Apparently, he would use it to loosen up. Here's his explanation.
If you're going out, you pregame, right?
Me personally, I might have a glass of rosé.
So that's your pregame, whatever it is. Would you have preferred me say I took a glass of rosé?
No, that but wasn't gonna here's turn the me thing. Up. When I work out, if I have had even a glass of champagne the night before, let alone right before, I would be winded.
But you say that when you work out, but when you go out to party, when you're going out to turn up with your girls, you're not winded. When you're dancing and you're sweating your hair out, you're not winded.
Okay, so you going on the field, you looked at that as like you were going out with the boys to party.
Well, it was a turn up.
All right. First of all, let's stop saying turn up.
Uh-huh.
Let's start there.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and then I mean, a shot of Hennessy, man, before a game, you know, I don't know.
Oh, here's his justification. We'll get back to the way he's talking to this female reporter in a second. Here's his explanation for why he was actually doing it.
We took one shot, you know, and that was just kind of, I wasn't taking Toradol shots.
Yeah.
I wasn't doing drugs. So It was more of, instead of taking the shot, I'm already in pain. I don't know a football player that's not in pain during the season, especially for playing running back, where I'm getting 25 and 30 carries a game. So for me, it was kind of like this shot, and I'm going out to play. Like, this is going to take the pain away or fear or whatever it was. Like, now it's time. So after I took that shot, it was like, okay, now it's time to go do this, instead of going to lay down and take a Toradol shot, which all of a sudden comes out, and it's hazardous to your health, it's dangerous for you, and all of this. Like, I skipped that curve.
Yeah, Hennessy is definitely healthier.
Former player stepping on the field after a shot of Hennessy. How would that make you feel, Trey?
I couldn't do it. I couldn't, you know, when I was younger, we used to drink a lot of Hennessy just because, you know, it was always in the music and everything. And I've gotten to, I got to the point where I just couldn't even stand the smell of it. You know, I can't do it, you know, but to say that, oh man, to take a shot of Hennessy before going out and to play
pain management.
Get a Toradol shot. That's what everybody was getting. I mean, and then he played during that era where all of us were getting Toradol shots. I don't uh-huh. see where a shot of Hennessy was helping.
I have a funny Hennessy story. I went to, as a freshman, I was at a bar in D.C. in my local northeast D.C. neighborhood.
Sure.
Hanging out with one of the non-campus neighborhood guys. And we got to talking for a while, and I was like, hey, man, let me buy you a shot. What are you drinking? And he goes, Hennessy. I go, all right, I guess I'm doing Hennessy with you, too. I'd never done Hennessy. Mm. I threw that shot down, pretty much sprinted more or less right to the bathroom and vomited.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Hennessy is awful, man.
It's gross.
He went out there and got tackled. Like, that's like, yeah, like you went and threw up.
I mean, I was probably like 20 light beers deep at that point. That didn't help, but it was gross.
But he wanted to turn up.
Well, who was it?
I never drank Hennessy again.
Who was it? Ron Artest would run to the liquor store before like a game and get Hennessy?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
There's this guy, Art Donovan, who was a defensive tackle for the Colts. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
The funniest guy in the world.
Great story.
He had a great story. He said they were playing Chicago one time and he sacked Bobby Lane, the quarterback for Chicago, and he sacked him and he went to help Money Lane. He's like, Jesus, Bobby, how much were you drinking last night? It's like, you smell like a liquor store. He says, who said it was last night? Halftime was only 5 minutes ago. And like, he Donovan went on to say, like, that was kind of the norm. These guys that got hit, you didn't have what Trey's talking about back then. These guys had to cover it somehow.
Right.
Max McGee, what, Super Bowl II or whatever it was, the guy who got the MVP, he wasn't even going to play.
Right.
So he was out till 4 in the morning. Somebody got hurt. He went out there, he said he had the worst hangover of his life, and turns out to have the best game of his life. So,
wow.
There's pros and cons, Trey Thomas.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't play like that.
No, man.
Well, not for nothing, but Clinton Portis averaged for his first 7 years in the league, and this includes a game or a season, I think he only played maybe six games in, averaged 1,300 yards, 10 touchdowns a season for seven seasons. Yeah.
Hennessy it is.
Hennessy it is. I mean, well, you got to find whatever works for you, but it's all right.
Whatever works for you. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, but no, that wasn't me. I'd go get that Toradol shot in the heartbeat. I'm not trying to sit up there and drink a shot of Hennessy and then go play a game.
To your story, Bob, I interviewed Charlie Manuel some years ago, and he told me that the first day he spent in the major leagues, he played for the Twins, and Billy Martin was the manager. And I think it was shortly before that, Mickey Mantle retired.
Okay.
So Mickey Mantle went out to Minnesota to party with his buddy. Whatever. This is the story, Charlie Manuel.
Well, Mickey Mantle, Whitey Ford, and Billy Martin were the three biggest partiers on the face of the earth during their time.
But you would think Mickey Mantle would have a better place to party than Minnesota. So he goes to Minnesota to hang with his buddy, Billy Martin. So he goes out with Billy Martin, and Charlie Manuel is a rookie again. It's his first night in the major leagues. And he goes out, and they all, you know, a couple other guys, they go out to this bar, and they have themselves a good time. And Billy Martin looks at Charlie and goes, hey, Rook, you're not playing tomorrow, so you're the one that has to make sure. Like, you have to close out the night with Mickey. Like, you can't go home. You have to take care of Mickey Mantle. So Charlie Manuel, his first night in the big leagues, spent it hanging out with Mickey Mantle.
Wow.
So, I mean, amazing, right?
And you better bring your A game
when
you're hanging out with the Mick.
So, now, apparently, there's a lot of details that Charlie left out of this story.
Because I bet there was.
We were in front of an audience of all ages.
Women and children.
Yeah, and that was pretty much. So we go, and he tells the story, and the story ends with them going back to Charlie's place, and he didn't have any curtains yet. He just made it to this apartment, right? So he had to take bed sheets and tack them over the wall, over the windows, so that, you know, Mickey Mantle could sleep past sunrise.
Right.
And his first night in the big leagues, he spent it with Mickey Mantle. And I said, well, did you end up playing the next day? He was like, nope. he's like Billy Martin stayed true to his word. He didn't put me in the game. But, yeah, so we get done this interview in front of other people. And he then says, by the way, there's a lot more to that story that I couldn't really get into. And Charlie's wife, Missy, actually told me to make sure you ask him about his first night in the big leagues.
Ah.
And I'm like, set him up. She set him up.
Mm-hmm.
But for, imagine your first night, you get called up to the big leagues, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, go babysit Mickey Mantle.
And yeah. Then, and watch then, Mickey get drunk and make sure he gets somewhere all right.
And then you two, guess what you're going to do? You're going to have a sleepover. That's the way that's going to go. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll recap some of the stuff that we talked about earlier with Nick Foles. A lot of stories coming out regarding Nick Foles, one in particular from Denver. And we spoke to the gentleman that actually put that story out there. And he had an interesting spin, because you would think someone in Denver got their source from Denver. Wasn't the case. Time at the Fanatic is 941.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
I gotta say, the lava lamp really does add a lot of atmosphere to this room.
Yeah.
It does. It brings a calming influence.
I've been mesmerized by it.
The question is, will it make it to NBC Sports Philadelphia today?
No. That's not leaving.
No, I meant on Mike's show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, ho, ho, ho!
Will they get the call to remove the lava lamp? Might be too much sexiness for TV.
Wow, we just got a whole lot sexier.
What does the Prego tomato sauce actually bring to this studio? I don't know. It's been sitting there for quite a while.
It was
an unopened jar.
Jason autographed it. It's been in his office for like 2 years.
Oh.
Wait, okay. Who autographed it?
Jason Martinez.
Jason Martinez autographed
that Prego can.
It was a giveaway.
Yeah, I think they were going to give it away, and he's like, "Oh, I'll autograph it."
Well, the fact like that it expired, and now that it has his autograph on there, the value is nil.
Is it expired? I thought about taking it home.
Well,
it's
2 years ago.
That's interesting. Mm. I don't think I've ever had. And look, I'm not like an elitist.
Prego.
Yeah, right. I'm not. I don't think I've ever had Prego.
I've had like Prego's good.
I've had ragu.
Oh, you've had ragu. I'm a ragu man.
I would have the ragu out of like in college. I would just buy this like huge jar of it, and I'd be like, "Well, that's my food for the week."
Yeah, get
pour that over some spaghetti.
There you
two
go.
Boxes of spaghetti. That'd be better. That's how.
Little angel hair.
I'd go spaghetti.
Oh, you go spaghetti because you needed to be filled up.
Exactly.
No, I hear you.
I didn't need no cappellini. I needed the thick stuff.
I usually do angel hair because my pasta usually sits under something.
Oh,
like,
gotcha.
Like Sunday night, it sat under a nice veal piccata.
Oh, she told me about that veal piccata.
I did. And it was good. Good stuff.
Earlier in the show, we talked to Cecil Lammy out of Denver. He works for 104.3, the Fan in Denver, and he put out the tweet yesterday about Nick Foles. And he said, according to sources, sounds like the Eagles will let Nick Foles walk free and clear. Not enough space for a tag and no trade scenario right there. So the Eagles would most likely just get that third compensatory pick. I bring this up because we talked about it a lot yesterday with the speculation from CBSSports.com that the Eagles would trade Nick Foles to Jacksonville for either Leonard Fournette or a grouping of picks, including a seventh overall pick, in which the Eagles would also give up some picks. So a lot of things that we kicked around there. So this gentleman is saying, and by the way, we asked him about it when we had him on at 8 o'clock, where that source came from, and he said it came from the Philadelphia market, not from Denver, which is one of the teams rumored to be interested in Nick Foles if, in fact, he does hit free agency. So a little bit more, fuel to the fire, a little bit more information for Nick Foles and the people that are thinking about whether or not he's going to be traded and where he could end up going. Interesting stuff. And, of course, Ryan Howard joining us just moments ago telling us that Bryce Harper would be more so the apple of his eye. 610-632-0975. Marcus, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Marcus?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing today?
Good, buddy.
Real quick, can you guys hear me good? I'm driving
yes.
The car. I'm Bluetooth. Okay, great. Real quick, Trey, just I want to throw this out to you there. The one shot of Hennessy, like I said, one shot of Hennessy, I don't think is a big deal. think too much of anything is a bad thing.
Yes.
You know, if they're playing in a cold weather game, they're warming you up, a little pain, it'll take away, and also it'll ease up, you know, to make you ease up a little bit. So I don't think that's a big deal, honestly. I think it's having a good thing, honestly.
I mean, if that's what you need to do. I just
have at it.
For me, a shot of Hennessy just wouldn't have. No.
And I definitely understand, you know, where you're coming from there. But one shot, I think, for a game isn't a big deal.
Okay.
But I wanted to talk to you guys about the Sixers a little bit. I got to say, as great as Anthony Davis is, I would not trade him for Ben Simmons. And here's why. There's two reasons. I feel like a point guard has, you know, a lot more impact on the game, especially a point guard as good as Ben is. And also, as much as I think Davis is a great player, I mean, he's been in this league for quite a while. He's had some decent teams. I mean, you know, nothing great, but he's had some opportunities with some decent players. They haven't really done much. So I don't know how much of a winner this guy really is. I mean, I'm not saying he has to win the entire thing, but I mean, has he ever even won a playoff series? I'm not even sure if he has. He's been in the league for quite a while with some decent players around him. So with that said, there's no way I would move Ben for Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
I'll leave you guys with that.
Thanks, Marcus. As of right now, I would not, and for a lot of reasons. One of the reasons, the main one being control. I mean, you're talking about the idea of getting a rental player, essentially, right? I mean, because he's got one more year after
right,
this.
One year after this, and then a player option.
And then how many years do I have of Ben Simmons? Now, look, granted, assuming he does sign the rookie extension and all that stuff.
Yeah. I hate the fit thing, but it's a real concern if you have him and Joel Embiid.
Sure.
You know, some would say, who cares? Figure it out. And I'm kind of that ilk if you do. But I don't know. I think you can build with Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, and Jimmy Butler and have a really, really good run here for a lot of years.
And I think he has won one playoff series.
They won a playoff series last year, I think, and then they...
Yes.
And then in the second round, I forget who they lost
some
to. Houston, I believe they lost to in the second round, if I'm not mistaken.
Golden State.
Okay.
Or Golden State. They're a pretty good basketball. That Warriors team is pretty solid.
Yeah, they're not bad.
They're pretty well-rounded.
Yeah,
all right.
No. No. They do the basketball well.
Not for nothing. They're pretty good. Don't forget, we got Super Hole, of course, coming up Friday. This Friday, don't forget about it, we got right at the Met in Philadelphia. We're teaming up to have the Super Hole weekend and tailgate party with our good friends of Philadelphia Cornhole League for the event. Go to 975thefanatic.com right now to download your free tickets. Before they run out, we'll have food, beer, interactive games. We'll have for everybody there. Golf simulator. This is for everyone that shows up, not just for people in the tournament, at a game room set up by Royal Billiards. If you entered the play in the tournament, we of course reached out to you already for our field of 64. We'll have a couple of play-in games from teams we select there at the Met. Make sure you show up there by 5 a.m. and we'll register to play in our play-in game. So if you didn't get a call from us, you still have a chance to get into the tournament by showing up. If you show up, even if you don't get in, you still have some great stuff that you can win, including a trip for two to the Amsterdam Manor Resort. That's the Beach Resort, Amsterdam Manor Beach Resort in beautiful Aruba. Go to aruba.com to plan your visit now. Also, one person will win a 2-year lease on a Honda Civic, courtesy of Burns Honda. We got Philly Pretzel Factory will be there, Hers Chips, Tony Roney's, Dietz and Watson, Piccalilli Inn, all brought to you by Harris Philadelphia. Full contact sports betting at Harris Philadelphia, the area's best sports wagering experience, will be at the book. Bet, party, win, repeat. Cornhole tournament winners, $1,000 courtesy of Harris Casino. Championship rings, courtesy of Steven Singer Jewelers. Trophies, courtesy of Armor Metal. Prizes from Royal Billiards. Two pairs of 2019 season passes to the Met in Philadelphia, and two Honda Grom motorcycles, courtesy of our great friends at DHY Motorsports. Get them, or check them out, rather, at DHY.com. All that and more, of course, at Super Hole for Super Hole Weekend. Let's put a bow on our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation. Sam Wilson.
Today we had just over 2,400 votes, and 63% of our fans said they expect Bryce Harper to sign with the Phillies before the Super Bowl.
All right, let's get your takeaway of the day, Sam. What do you got?
Mine is, once you come to Philly, you love Philly forever, because Ryan Howard still buys Sixers jerseys for his now 18-year-old son.
That's awesome. Can't get away from it.
Yes.
Jamie Lynch, takeaway of the day.
My takeaway of the day is, if Bryce Harper doesn't sign and become a Philadelphia soon, we're all going to lose our minds.
Bob Cooney.
Chink in the armor of Trey Thomas, which I never thought I'd find. He lost his laser focus one day telling Jason Avant in the middle of a huddle to get a haircut.
Very true. I was just trying to help my brother. I am my brother's keeper.
Trey Thomas, takeaway of the day.
Oh, man. There was so much.
There was a lot.
Yeah. Harper, just sign, man. Let's get it over with.
All right. All right, my takeaway of the day, and I'm shocked nobody else had this. How could you go other way, any other way than Jay Middles? Jay Middles. Thank you, Ryan Howard. Jay Middles. Stay tuned for Gargano Martinez Middays here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.